Okay, today we're starting with Masechet Bechorot, very apropos Erev Pesach. So the whole issue of Bechor, as you know, comes from Yitzhak Mitzrayim. In Perek Yugimel of Shmod, it starts off, V'yidaber Hashem Moshe Limor, Kadesh Li Kol Bechor Peter Kol Rechem B'vnei Yisrael V'adam HaBeima Lihu. And that comes from the fact, right, Zechorat Hayom Asher Yatzatem Mitzrayim Mibeit Avadim. And then it continues to say that when you get to the land, because God, right, it's all because of Makah Bechorot, and Hashem saved, right, all the Jewish firstborns. And then it says in Perek Yigim, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayaki v'yacha Hashem el Eretz HaKnani, kasher nishbalach ulavotecha unitadena lach, when you get to the land, v'avarta kol peter rechem la'Hashem v'kol peter sheger be'ema asher yeh lecha hazcharim la'Hashem. Okay, all the male firstborns go to Hashem of the animals. Okay, now, what kind of animals are we talking about? Kosher animals. That's what we've talked about many times, and this continues. The chulim, right, talked about between, you know, zvachim, menachel, chulim, right? We're in a whole kind of mahalach of all these mesechtos that deal with, are we going to get to Erchin and Tmur after this? And within Bechor, we're going to talk about Maser Behema, because we always connected, if you remember, in all those things they discussed, Bechor, Maser Behema always went together, so that's going to come up in our mesechet. So this Masechet, a lot of it is going to deal with the Bechor Behema, which is that what happens? You have to bring it to the Kohen, and then the Kohen has to sacrifice it as a Korban LaHashem, and it's got an inherent sanctity in it. We've talked about that. It's got Kedushat. It was Kadosh Mirechem. That makes it unique, right? Because many things have sanctification because you give it sanctification, like Maser Behema, for example. You give the 10th one. It goes to the Kohen, and he has to bring a sacrifice, unless it's a Baal Mum. We're going to spend a lot of this Masechet also on all the different Mumim. But there's also another mitzvah in here, which we've dealt with less, and it's actually going to be the first nosei of our perek. I saw, maybe it was in the Steinsaltz, they suggested that maybe they started with this first because it's a little simpler and shorter, and then get to like the meatier stuff. I don't know if it's an interesting interpretation as to why it started with this. It definitely seems, not only is it a strange place to start, but you'll see where the Mishnah starts. It's like, Mapitom, usually, right, and this happens very often in the beginning of Masechtot, right, even the Gemara asks this question on the first Masechet of Shas, Me'matai Korin Shema Baravim, right? Mapitom, how about this Chiyuv Kriyat Shema, you know, you need to do it. Masechet Bakot, for example, started off, Matai Ein Aidim Nasim Zomimim, right? It's not the exception to the rule. This also is starting with the exceptions, okay? When you're not Chayav in Pidyon bin Peter Chamor. Okay, but let's just discuss what the mitzvah is. V'chol, okay, now I'm in Yugimel of Shmo. V'chol Peter Chamor Tifdeh B'seh. You have to take the firstborn of a Chamor. Now, why is this strange? A Chamor is not a kosher animal, right? Usually we don't have this kind of mitzvah with kosher animals. So you have to take the firstborn of a Chamor, Tifdeh B'seh. You have to redeem it. Now, here, normally we redeem with money. You have to redeem it with a Seh, with a lamb. Maybe reminiscent of Pesach. Vim lo tifdeh, and if you don't do it, ba'arafto, you have to break the back of its neck. Sounds like some other ones we know, right? Egla Rufa, for example. So it seems strange, like this whole mitzvah is a little weird, right? You have to do it with a seh. If you don't do it with a seh, you have to break its neck. It doesn't actually have kedusha to it, okay? It's a little different from the peter chamor that is sanctified, right? You just give this to the Kohen, and he could do with the seh whatever he wants. Okay, this isn't like one of those other mitzvot that has kiddusha to it. So anyway, we're going to get into detail about this mitzvah, and we're going to see that it also only applies to Jewish animals. That's going to be our first topic, okay? And that comes up from Bamidbar, Perek Gimel, Yugimel. It might be in your Torah, or Ki li kol b'chor b'yom akoti, kol b'chor b'eretz Mitzrayim, hikdashti li kol b'chor b'Yisrael me'adam ba'beima, li yuhani Hashem. Notice it said there, kol b'chor b'Yisrael, meaning only b'chor of Yisrael, and that's going to be the topic of our first Mishnah. What if a non-Jew has a hand in it somehow? Are you pater from b'chor? Obviously, if it's a non-Jew's animal, you are, but what if it's kind of a combo? We're going to talk about all different combinations. Okay, before we start, I just want to say one more thing about Bechor, which is there's two aspects to it. One is it's Zecher Letzia Mitzrayim. It's supposed to remind us of what happened there and that we were saved. And the other idea is from Bikurim. It's like bringing your first to God. Right? The same way we have Bikurim, this is like that type of mitzvah. And that's why the element that it goes to the Kohen relates to that. Because if it's just Zecher Letzia Mitzrayim, why would we give it to the Kohen? You could say, well, maybe we give it to the Kohen because who else are we going to give it to, right? In other words, if it's got sanctity or doesn't have sanctity, but it's supposed to go somewhere, like the gezel ager. Remember, if someone steals from a ger, and then he goes to return the money, and the ger is no longer alive, and he doesn't have yorshim, so it goes to the kohen. It could be the default, just goes to the kohen. But it seems more from this element of the first, like the bikurim go to the kohen. This also, it's like part of matnot kuna, which also, by the way, connects it with the previous, the end of the last masechet talked about matnot kuna, one of the latter prakim, right? And therefore, maybe it's connected with that also. Of the order here. Okay, with all that, we're going to get started. Halokeach ubar chamuro shelovei kochavim vehamocher lo. Okay, so someone buys an ubar, buys the fetus of an ovei kochavim. Vehamocher lo, or he sells to an ovei kochavim his chamur. Okay, we're going to see that all these cases, according to the Mishnah, are exempt from peter b'chur. Okay, peter chamur. You do not have to give it to a kohen. You're exempt. You can just treat him like a regular animal. Okay, the first one is you buy the fetus of a chamor of an ovei kochavim because it's, you know, what's the issue? There's a mother with its fetus. So it's partly, right, the mother is owned by a non-Jew and the fetus is owned by a Jew now. That's patur from peterechem. Hamocherlo, if you sell the ubar, afal pisheino rashayin, and here's a certain caveat in the Mishnah, you're not allowed to do this, okay? You're not allowed to. Now, why can't you sell an animal to a non-Jew? I don't know if you remember this. You're not allowed to sell behemoth gasot, large animals, why, to non-Jews. Why? Because large animals are worthy of working. And if an animal is worthy of working, what might happen? The non-Jew will work on Shabbat with your animal. And your animal is chayav lishbot b'Shabbat, not allowed to work on Shabbat, and your animal will work on Shabbat. Now, this seems strange because if you sell it to a non-Jew, it's not yours anymore, so who cares? So it's actually not really usher to sell. It is, but we'll see. The real issur is to rent your animal out or lend your animal out. That's asur to do to a non-Jew because then they'll work your animal on Shabbat and that's a problem. But if you sell your animal, people might come to think that you can also rent or lend your animal. And for that reason, they forbid you to sell large animals to non-Jews. Okay, animals that are worthy of working. So if you sell the ubar, even though you're not allowed to, okay, well, we'll see. The end is going to be your patur from Bechora. If you're in partnership with the non-Jew, with the animal, if you get from the non-Jew, okay, what does it mean you get? You get bekabala, okay? What does that mean, you get bekabala? It's kind of like a sharecropper on a field, okay? You have an animal, in this case, you're the non-Jew has an animal, and he says, you take the animal and work with the animal, and we'll share the proceeds. Okay, so the animal belongs to the non-Jew, but the proceeds are shared by the Jew. So, ha-mekabel himenu, ve-ha-noten lo bekabala, or the reverse, the animal belongs to the Jew, and he has the non-Jew working the animal and getting share part of the proceeds. Patur min ha-bechora, you're exempt from bechora in all these cases. What's the reason? Shene'emar b'Yisrael avalo b'achirin, because it said, right, dashem li kobechor b'Yisrael, it's only if it's fully Yisrael and not anyone else. We're going to see that Rabbi Yehuda argues with some of this, but right now it seems Tanakama says, right, or the Tana of our Mishnah thinks these are all patur.
Isn't that the same principle like if a Jew and a non-Jew co-own a food store and the Jew isn't obligated to sell the chametz in the store the same way?
Uh-huh. I don't know if it's the same issue. Maybe you could look at it similarly. Yeah, this seems to be very clear, right, who owns it. And right. Since what they claim is it has to be fully be Yisrael in order for it to be chayav. That's a little different. There you have to work out some partnership agreement and, you know, who owns what and how you... I don't know. I don't know enough detail about it. Okay. Kol hani el amali. Now the Gemara asks, why did you have to bring all these cases? Right? You could have been obvious just, you know, from one of them probably, you know, as long as there's some hand of the non-Jew in it, you're patur. So it's tzrichi. You need them all. Why? De'itana lokeach, if you just had the first case, lokeach, right? You buy from an ubar from an ovei kochavim. Hava amina mishum dekamayte la l'kedusha. Now we're going to connect with. The assumption is that if you're not allowed to do something, we're going to penalize you. What's a good way to penalize you? Make you chayav in peter chamur. Okay? So, if you bought the ubar, you clearly didn't do anything wrong. And not only that, but you brought this animal into Kedusha. What's the Kedusha here? So there's a bit of a machloket, but Rashi says the Kedusha is that now it has to do Shvita b'Shabbat. Okay, now it's, right, that's bringing it into Kedusha by bringing it into, right, just like we're sanctified because we keep Shabbat. So this Behemah is now going to keep Shabbat. Okay, this is a bit of a different explanation, but we'll stick with this one right now. And therefore, what do we say? Therefore, we're not going to, we'll exempt you from Peter Chamor. Aval mocher de kamav kalami kedusha ema liknese. It's a very interesting concept that they're using this mitzvah to say, we'll penalize you to, you're going to have to do this mitzvah because you did something wrong, okay? So if you're taking an animal out of Kedusha because you're giving him to a non-Jew, you're taking the Subar, you're selling him to a non-Jew, then we could say, well, you're removing the Kedusha from him, and therefore maybe we're going to be kones you when it comes to the Petra Chamor, make you chayav, kamash malan. That's why we need the second case, hamocher lo, that you're also going to be patur. Okay, so we got the first two cases. Now, hamishtateflo, what if you're bishutfut lamali? Well, that would be pretty obvious. Oh, well, it's not so obvious because Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. So we want to teach you, lafu came into Rabbi Yehuda, that we want to make it clear that this Tana disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda. Da'amar, shutfut ovei kochavim chayevet bebechora. You're actually chayav in bechora in this case. Kamashmalan diptua mina bechora. Therefore, comes to teach you, you're exempt. Okay, keep going on the cases. Hamikabel lamali. Why do you need the case of mikabel? Well, you don't really need a mikabel because why? The mikabel is the non-Jew owns the animal, and I'm just getting some of the proceeds. Of course, I don't have to give Petra Chamor. So they say, really, you don't need hamikabel, but why they bring it? Mishum dekabai lemitne v'hanotein lo b'kabalah. They wanted to bring you the flip case. So they brought you the comparison, right? Both of them. Well, then, hanotein lo b'kabalah lamali. Why do you need that case? Itzterich. Why do you need that case? Because Salkadat Hamina, Ho'il v'ikar behemad Yisrael hi, liknese, dilma'ate lechlufe b'behema achrite, ka mashmalan. Since the ikar of the behema is owned by the Jew, even though the rivachim are split, right, the proceeds, still you might have thought, maybe, ate lechlufe b'behema achrite, you might have thought that you might confuse this with other animals and think that it's okay, right, to give to a non-Jew, kamashmalan. Okay? So you might have thought that here, since the behema owns the right, it's like the land with the payroll, right? The land is owned by the Jew. Here, the animal is owned by the Jew. So we might have thought, you might confuse it then with other cases of being allowed to sell to a non-Jew. So therefore, we're going to penalize you for this. You might have thought, and that's why kamashmalan, that you don't. Tnan hatam. So now we're going to quote a Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda matir b'shvua, Bein Batera matir b'sus. Okay, there's a Mishnah that says that when it comes to Shabbat, okay, we're now like, these two issues seem to be interrelated, right? Whether your animal can work on Shabbat. So what does he say? If you have an animal with a broken leg that can't work, then you actually can sell that on Shabbat. Okay, Tanakama v'is Chachamim disagree. But Rabbi Yehuda thinks that you don't have to worry about it. Ben Batera says, a sus, since a sus you don't use for working in the fields, what do you use it for? You ride on it. Riding is just asur midrabanan. Because of that, we didn't make a gzera and forbid you to sell your sus to a non-Jew. So Rabbi Yehuda says a shvur is allowed, Ben Batera says a sus is allowed. Ibai elhu. So now they're going to ask a question. Ubar mali. What would Rabbi Yehuda say about an ubar? Would he allow you to sell a fetus to a non-Jew? Why would you think you could sell a fetus? So let's see. Tama de Rabbi Yehuda hatam de share mishum de shvura ubar nami shavurhu. What's the reason they allowed a shavur? Because a shavur can't work. Well, an ubar also can't work. A fetus is not worthy of working. So maybe we're not worried you're going to confuse it and think that you can actually sell an animal that you can work if we allow you to sell the ubar. O dilma, or do we say shvura lav hainu orche? Shvura is not the derech, right? A normal animal isn't broken, doesn't have broken limbs. Aval ubar kevan dehainu orche lav shavurhu. But we'd say it doesn't come in the same category as shavur because it's perfectly intact. This is a little bit like katan. Sometimes we say a katan is chayav and something because habalichlal gadol, as opposed to someone who, like a shote, who's never going to be part of the, or a woman, sometimes we say, is different than a katan because a woman in certain areas will never be part of a chiyuv, whereas a katan will. So maybe we would say, in this case, since a nubar will ultimately become a gadol, right, and become worthy of working, or you know, maybe don't even have to go so far as to say it, and just to say it's not broken, right? It's a normal way of doing it. Maybe you'd be chayav. You know, maybe you wouldn't be allowed to sell it. So now they're going to bring three attempts to try to prove what Rabbi Yehuda holds about an ubar that's shvura. An ubar. Is it like shvura or is it not? So again, we start with Rabbi Yehuda holds shvura, you can sell. The question is, what would you say about an ubar? Tashma. So let's learn from here. What does it say in our Mishnah? Hamocherlo, afal pi sheino rashai. Right, what does it say? Oh, our Mishnah is talking about an ubar. And what does it say about an ubar? If you sell the non-Jew the ubar, even though you're not allowed. So first of all, you see your chachamim clearly think you're not allowed, which was obvious because they think everything's not allowed. Shvur also would be not allowed. But what do they say here? They say, well, it doesn't say anywhere, right? Velo palig Rabbi Yehuda. It doesn't say, and Rabbi Yehuda thinks that you can, right? So since it doesn't bring in Rabbi Yehuda there, it must be. Rabbi Yehuda thinks it's okay. He agrees with Chachamim that it's not okay. And that's a very strange proof because we just said that our whole mission, right, that he disagrees with other parts of our mission and it's not mentioned there, remember? So they say, Velita mech, hamishtatef lo, v'mekabel mimenu, v'anoten lo b'kabalah, delo katane, hachinami delo palik. What you're going to say then, these other three cases, now we only saw hamishtatef, okay? We saw hamishtatef, that he holds up your b'shutfut, you, right, then you are chayav in petar chamor. So, but not only that, but also in hamekabel, v'anoten lo b'kabalah, he thinks, he also disagrees, Delokat, right? And it doesn't say anything in the Mishnah. Hachanami delo palik, ela palig. Really, there he is chole. Velo katane, and yet it doesn't mention in the Mishnah. So hachanami palig velo katane. Okay, so yeshal lachiach shum davar mishnah, right? There's no way to prove anything from our Mishnah because the fact that it doesn't say Rabbi Yehuda thinks you can sell it. First of all, it's even interesting to think that they would say that because that was sort of parenthetical there, right? Even though you can't sell it, you're still chayav, right? I'm sorry, you're patur. So it would be strange to say that in a parenthetical statement it should have said. But anyway, fine. They don't prove from that anything. Second attempt to prove. What does Rabbi Yehuda think about a new bar? Can one sell a new bar or not to a non-Jew? Tashma. Let's learn from here. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, here we get the case about the Mekabel, that he's disagreeing in the Mekabel case. Ha-Mekabel behema mina ubar. Mina uvei kochavim. V'yalda. He gets a behema from the ubar to basically share in the proceeds. And the behema has offspring. And so, what do we do? Ma'alino tobis shovyo. We evaluate the value of the animal. Vinoteng chatsi damav lekohen. Okay, in other words, what happens? You have to do pidyon on the subar. What do you see? Pidyon on half that, right? Because he owns, let's say, if it's about half, let's say they, I guess it's half or whatever share they share in the Mekabel case. So he has to give half of the value to the kohen. V'hanotein lo b'kabalah, and if he gives to the non-Jew b'kabalah, the reverse, it's his animal, and he gives to the non-Jew b'kabalah, af al pi sheino rashai, even though he can't do this. So first of all, what does it say here? You're not allowed to do this. Konsino to ara sara b'damav. What does that mean? It's very interesting. If you give b'kabalah to a non-Jew, what would you have to do? And likewise, it would be the same if you sold it. Since you're not allowed to, the rabbis say, you must buy it back. And when you buy it back, let's say the non-Jew says, well, we had a deal. I don't want to sell it back to you. He can, if he says, I want more money, you have to pay up to 10 times the value of the animal in order to get it back. Okay, that's your penalty.
Okay,
it's a big deterrent. And it's also, like you think about it, there's kefel, there's arav v'chamisha, you know, if somebody steals, this is higher than anything, right? Okay. Vin notein kol damav lekohen. And he has to give the value to the kohen. Now, the value of what? Now, the assumption is if the animal then gives birth to a bechor, so he has to give the value of that animal to the kohen. Okay? So, now the question is, what does he have to give to the kohen? The value of the ubar. So what does it sound like? It sounds like it's a sur. What does it say? Anotein lo b'kabalah et ha'ubar, right? It sounds like if he gave the ubar to the kohen, b'kabalah, right? It says, afal pi sheino rashai. So what do you see here? You can't sell an ubar, right? Or you can't do a b'kabalah. My lava ubar, isn't this not referring to the ubar? And there you have Rabbi Yehuda says you can't. So they say, lo a behema. This is a little tricky because there's a behema and there's an ubar, okay? Eventually we'll get to a conclusion that makes a lot of sense. Right now we're kind of suggesting all sorts of things. No, they say, no, it's not talking about the ubar. It's talking about the behema, right? When we said, afal pi sheino rashai means you can't sell the behema. If you were, right, the behema meaning you can't give your behema b'kabalah to a non-Jew to share the rivachim. But if it was just an ubar, maybe you'd be able to because an ubar is like a shvura. Okay? Doesn't prove anything. How could you say it's saying a behema though? What does it say? V'had damav katane. It says, v'notein, right? Konsino to arasara b'damav. Damav is zachar, right? Is masculine, the word. And behema, and ubar is zachar. Behema is nikeva. It would say ad dameha, Okay, if it really meant the animal itself, the mother, right, it would say damea. So they say, oh, tnei damea, change it to damea. Then they say, but wait, ha noten kol damav lekohen katani, but then it says you have to give all the damav lekohen. Ve'i behema kohen maya vidate. If we're talking about the behema, then what's the kohen have to do with it? The behema itself doesn't belong to the kohen, only the ubar belongs to the kohen. So what do they say? Oh, ha ha b'mar eskin, and this is the case. Kigon di yavle behema ma'abarta liptuma. What did you do? You gave a pregnant animal, bekablanu, to the non-Jew to work, right? And what's for what reason? Lipotma. There's two reasons you give it, right? Lifatem, to fatten it up. Well, there's actually many more reasons. You could give it for the chalav, for other things, for the giza. But what did you do here? You gave it lifotma to fatten it up. And then also for the uba, right? And to split the offspring. So now they say, demigo de kansina la bema, kansina lea ubar. Since already we're penalizing you for, you did something wrong to begin with, because you sold a behema. Behema is a sore, not necessarily an ubar. Now, we don't know. But it doesn't prove anything about the ubar. We don't know if it's a sore for the ubar. Now, why are you penalized that you have to give the value of the ubar to the kohen? Oh, well, that's simple. We're penalizing you because you sold the behema. We're penalizing you with the ubar because of the behema, on account of the behema. So you sold the behema, which you weren't allowed to, or you did the behema bekablanut, which you weren't allowed to do. So therefore, we penalize you. How do we penalize you? Well, we penalize you, number one, as related to the behema, that you have to buy it back, even out of sarab damav. And we penalize you when it has offsprings, it's a peter chamor. Well, you have to also give that to the kohen. So there, the penalty is for the ubar, but only because we're also penalizing you about the behema, which means if you just sold the ubar, we have no idea whether it would be asher or not. This isn't talking about selling an ubar. This is talking about selling the rights to the ubar while it's in the behema, but really we're talking about the behema itself. Amar Rav Ashi. So, third attempt to prove, and here we're actually going to be successful. Tashma, Rabbi Yehuda matir b'shvura, mepnei she'ena yichola litrapot. Here's another bright to the text about Rabbi Yehuda, and it says, he matirs a broken animal. Why? Because it can't ever be cured. What does that imply? Ha yichola litrapot, asar. Right? But if it could actually heal, it would be forbidden. V'ha ubar nami ki yichol litrapot nami. Right? How would you categorize an ubar? Well, it'll eventually be healed. It'll be worthy of working, and therefore shma mina. Therefore, one can infer it's clear that Rabbi Yehuda would forbid an ubar. Okay? Now, that was one whole way of reading this sugya.
How do you get, if we're talking about a regal shvura, then first of all, my thought was it becomes a treifa.
We don't care if it's a treifa. The point is, can you sell it?
How do you get the connection to the ubar? That's what I want.
Because a shvura is broken. It can't do avodah. The whole thing is we're concerned with, will he work the animal on Shabbat? So, same thing with an ubar. You can't work the ubar on Shabbat. It's just a fetus. So, we worry that we're going to learn from here that he'll think that you can sell a regular animal that can work. And they're saying, well, you can't sell the ubar, even though a shvura will never be able to work. So, therefore, it's out of this whole gzerah bichlal.
But an ubar,
since it eventually, right, it has potential. So, therefore, it's forbidden to sell. Okay, next. Now that was one whole way of reading this sugya. So again, how did we start? We wanted to know what would Rabbi Yehuda say about an ubar. Could you sell an ubar to a non-Jew or not? The second way of reading this sugya, and it's going to be somewhat parallel, but a little different. Like a mirror image a little. They started out not with a question on Rabbi Yehuda. They started out with our Mishnah. And what did they say? Right? What does it say in our Mishnah? You can't sell it to a non-Jew. Of the ubar, right? Which is exactly our question. Our question was, well, what does Rabbi Yehuda say? So here we started with the Mishnah. What did we say? Lema manita deloka Rabbi Yehuda. Let's suggest that our Mishnah doesn't match Rabbi Yehuda. Instead of asking a question, they made an assumption. They said, oh, it must be our Mishnah doesn't match Rabbi Yehuda because Rabbi Yehuda would allow to sell an ubar. How do we know this? Ditznam Rabbi Yehuda matir b'shvura. And therefore, since he's matir b'shvura, he will be matir an ubar, which means our Mishnah just doesn't go like Rabbi Yehuda. And then they say, reject that and say, no. Afilu tema Rabbi Yehuda, shvura alav haynu orche, ubar haynu orche. Instead of setting it as a question, they suggested, and then they rejected the suggestion based on the other way of looking at it. They say, you don't necessarily have to say, because again, as soon as you can make an argument one way, it means you can't prove what you're trying to say. You don't necessarily need to say he disagrees about a new bar. You could say, shvura is no good because a shvura is broken, but a new bar is not broken. It has future potential, and therefore it's permitted. It's forbidden to sell. So now they try to prove this answer. They try to say, oh yeah, in fact, You're right that Rabbi Yehuda holds that you can't sell it. How do we know? Tashma. Now we're going to bring all the sources we saw before. Not all. There we brought three. Here they only bring two. Rabbi Yehuda Omer HaMakabel Behema Amino VeKochavim B'Yalda. Right, if you get it B'Kablanut and then it had a baby. Ma'alin Oto B'Shovyo V'Noten Chatzi Damav L'Kohen. Now here they start with the opposite. They say, my lava ubar, and what do you see? You can't sell it, because it says, afa pisheino rashai, right? Since you can't, consino to. So, is it not about the ubar? They say, lo, abehema. They say, no, it's referring to the behema. Then they say, how can you say it's referring to the behema? Hadamav katani. Doesn't it say it in masculine form, not feminine? Oh, tnei dama, change it to feminine. Right, if it's talking about the kohen, then obviously it relates to the ubar, not to the bema. So they say, "Hacha b'mayaskinan kigon dia bema bema ma'avarta liptuma." Right, you gave the pregnant animal liptuma. Demigo de katsina le'abema, katsina le'ubar. In which case, again, what do we say? This has nothing to do with an ubar. You can't prove anything about an ubar because we can say the whole thing was talking about the animal and not the ubar. And it was talking about because on account of the. On the count that you sold the behemah, which you weren't allowed to, or you gave it b'kablanut, then you'd have to, we penalize you also about the ubar, but if you just sold an ubar, maybe it would be okay. Amar Avashi, now we bring the last proof we brought last time, which is more consistent, and there again we brought it to give an answer to the question. Here we're bringing it to prove the suggested answer, which is, right, Amar Rav Ashi, Tashma, Rabbi Yehuda Matir b'Shvura, Mipnei Sheina Yichola Litrapot, HaYichola Litrapot Asur. In which case, where do we get to? That our Mishnah, actually, Rabbi Yehuda would agree with our Mishnah that in Ubar, you're not allowed to sell. Okay, because here, since it has potential, right, behind Nami, in this case of an Ubar is KiYichola Litrapot Ami Shmamina. Okay, so two different ways of reading it. Either which way, we come to the conclusion that Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's forbidden, even though he allows to sell a shvura, he forbids to sell an ubar. Ibayalu. Now we have another question. Machar behema lubareha. Now that we were talking about a behema that you would sell for its. Now here you sell not a pregnant animal, but you sell an animal that you sell the rights to future offspring. Okay, this is a little an issue. It's davar shelo ba'al olam. You can't actually make a kinyan on davar shelo ba'al olam, but here you can sell, just like you can sell the rights to payroad of a field, you can sell rights to the ubar. Okay, you can sell rights to the offspring. Okay, you're allowed to do that. So what if you sold the behemah l'ubareha mai? So now we're going to have a question, like, is this allowed or not? Tibai l'Rabbi Yehuda v'tibai l'Rabbanan. We can actually ask this question both according to Rabbi Yehuda and to Rabbanan. Why? Tibai l'Rabbi Yehuda, you can ask according to Rabbi Yehuda like this. Ad kan lo kashari Rabbi Yehuda ela b'shvura, dilo ati l'ichlufe. When it comes to shvura, it's mutar. Why? Because you're not going to get confused and think a sale of a shvura is like a sale of a regular animal. Why? A sale of a shvura, what are you selling it for? You're selling it for the guy to shecht. He's not buying it, right? Remember we had in Bava Batra that most shvarim or liradia or lizah, right? Are we doing it for shechting purposes or are you selling them for work purposes? This animal, it's clear you're selling it for shechting purposes. In which case, nobody's going to think, well, you can go sell a non-Jew a work animal. Okay, you won't get confused. Aval shlema de'ati l'chlufe asar. But maybe he would hold that if it were intact, right, like selling a behema l'ubareha, you would be ati l'chlufe. O dilma, or maybe you would say like this. Ma shvura de'pas kamine. If a shvura, now what's paskamine? When you sold that animal for the, right, you sold a broken animal, so you expected to never have it, like you cut yourself off entirely. That means it was a very clean sale, right? It's gone, it's out of your hands. That's like a good sale, right? Bekoshaken shlema de lo paskamine. And if we're going to say that in that case where it's a really good sale, because you totally disconnected yourself from it, what does he say? It's mutar. Even though it's a really good sale. So in a case where you sell a behema for ubareha, where you're keeping connected with your animal, and it's just that you're giving the rights to future vladot, right, to the future offspring, to the non-Jew, maybe we'd say that's not a real sale because you're still connected with the animal. So maybe we'd be less concerned with a sale like that, right, because you still have rights to the animal, and clearly the animal's not going to work on Shabbat because the animal's still yours. So therefore, If a shvura de paskamine is mutar, kol shekena shlema de lo paskamine, where you still have a connection to the animal, the right animal still is yours, all the more so we should allow that. So there's two ways of looking according to Rabbi Yehuda. Now we're going to show the question according to Rabbanan. Tibai le Rabbanan, you could ask according to Rabbanan. You could say, ad kan lo ka'asher Rabbanan ela b'shvura. Now we're going to do the flip logic. When they forbade a shvura, why they forbid a shvura? Right, they disagree with Rabbi Yehuda and said you can't. Because depaskamine, because that's a full sale where you have nothing to do with the animal anymore. Aval shlema de lo paskamine share. But maybe you would be allowed in a shlema de lo paskamine, right? In this case where you sold the animal for the vladot, where you still have connections to the animal, maybe we wouldn't confuse that with a regular sale. O Dilma, or maybe you would say, again, the reverse logic of the first one, mashvura de lo ate de chlufe asre, a shvura where we're not worried you're going to, right, that we're not worried that you're going to confuse it with a regular sale because it's a broken animal that you're not selling for work purposes, and yet it's us, sir, kol shekhen shlema de ate de chlufe, right? All the more so, shlema, which for sure you might confuse because, again, the vlad at some point will be able to work. So now, they want to, before we get to an attempt to answer, we're going to question this very last thing that we just said. The assumption is that why is a shvura asr according to Chachamim? Because ati lechlufe, right? That seems logical. That the whole reason all this is asr is because you're going to think that you can do other things. V'tama de Rabbanan mishum hachiyu? Is that really the reason why Rabbanan asr a shvura? V'ha tanya, doesn't it say in a braita? And here we're going to see a discussion between Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim are going to actually say that there's a different reason why it's asr, not because ati lechlufe. They said to Rabbi Yehuda, "V'halo marbi'ina lehavi'oledet." What do they say to Rabbi Yehuda? Why is this behemah shvura asur? Not on account of itself, but because before he shechs the animal, what can he do? He could bring a male animal, and put them together and create vladot, which means that what are you creating by selling this? Well, you're going to have other animals now that in theory were yours from the offspring, and now they're going to work on Shabbat, and that's going to be problematic. Alma mishum ubareu. Therefore, his whole concern, according to Chachamim's concern, is all the ubarim. It's because of the future generations and not because of the animal itself. The shvura would be okay. If it was just shvura and it wasn't going to have offspring, Chachamim would think it was okay. In which case, you can't say, well, there it's more likely, ati lechlufe, you can't use that argument. So they say, no, you misunderstood that braita. Hachi kamarle. They said to him like this. Tam adidan, our reasoning is mishum da'ati lechlufe bebema. That's what we think. You sell a shvura, doesn't matter that it's got a broken leg. We're still worried you're going to confuse that with a regular sale. Ela'at, but according to you, Rabbi Yehuda, my tam asharit, why did you allow it? Mishum de'en yecholali drapot, because you said this can never heal, right? It's a problem. Kiman zavna, so why were you selling it? Lishchita dami. Right? Kiman de zavna l'shchita dami. And what did you say? It's like someone who's selling it just for shchita purposes, which would be okay. Because it's not going to ever work. But we disagree with you on your turf. Halo marbi'ina le v'yoledet. V'keman de marbi'ina le v'yoledet. Mashallah. What's the problem? Not so much that we're concerned with the ubarim, but you're going to leave the animal in your house for a little while to mate it with other animals. Which means that while it's in your house, so even though... What did you said, oh, you're selling it, l'shchita, so you're going to sell it, and the next day the guy's going to shecht it, and that's it, and no one will come to be choshesh. But in this case, you're going to leave it in your house. If you leave it in your house for a while, people will think, oh, well, that was a good sale. They're going to think that you can sell other animals. Amar lehu, what does Rabbi Yehuda say to them? What's his retort? L'chishite led, t'lo makabel et zachar. Yeah, go prove to me, like, what, a behemash v'ra can have offspring? So basically, their machloket is about the mitziyut. What's the reality? Can a behemah shvura have offspring or not? What does he say, Rabbi Yehuda? Deloma kabelet zachar. She's not capable of mating. And since she's not capable of mating, there's clearly no concern of what you're talking about. Okay, but again, this didn't, what were we trying to say? We were trying to say that Chachamim's chashash is not ate lechlufe or lo ate lechlufe. Their chashash had to do with that it could mate. Okay, and then they say, oh no, that doesn't prove anything about Chachamim because they were just talking Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda. They weren't talking about their own opinion. Okay, now let's go back to our basic question. So we're still left with our question. What would each one say? So Tashma, let's try to prove from here. V'hanotein lo b'kabalah. We keep going back to the same sources. Okay, this is our Mishnah. What does it say in our Mishnah? Hanotein lo b'kabalah. And notice what it says in our Mishnah. It doesn't say v'lo katane af al pi she'eino rashai. Now, notein lo b'kabbalah, what's the assumption? You give him b'kabbalah the animal for the offspring. That's what we were talking about, right? The offspring is then nachayav and petra chamor. That's our case. And it doesn't say there af al pi she'eino rashai. So what does it look like? Chachamim think that you're allowed to do this. Okay? But then they say, what do you mean? V'litamech ha-mishtateif lo de lo katane ha-chinami de rashai. Well, wait. It only said eino rashai, notice, in the Mishnah, on the first case, on the mochir. Well, the second case. But ha-mochir lo afa pi she'eino rashai. It didn't say it by ha-mishtateif, ha-mekabel, ha-lukeh. So, v'ha-noten lo b'kabbalah. So what did they assume? It must mean it's allowed. But then they said, no, but that same logic, ha-mishtateif lo, you think is allowed? V'ha-mar avua de Shmuel, אסור לאדם שיעשה שותפות עם הרבה כוכבים שמה יתחייב לשבועה ונשבע לו בשם עבודה כוכבים שלו. והתורה אמרה לא ישמע על פיך. It says, עבור התשמור says, that you're not allowed to go into שותפות with a goy. Now here's an interesting reason. What's the concern? Okay, anyone who has a business partnership, we all know that there's potential for someone to lie to the other side and try to cheat the other side out of money, unfortunately. And since that's a concern, what might happen? You might get into an argument with him, and what might happen? He might have to swear. If he has to swear, what's going to happen? He'll swear in the name of Avodah Zarah, and that's asur for you, because lo yishama al picha, okay, right? That's the pasuk of v'chol asher amarti alechem tishameru, v'shem elohim achirim lo tazkiru, don't mention the name of other gods, lo yishama al picha. You can't even have it mentioned on your mouth. What do they learn that to be? We've learned this before, that you can't cause someone else to swear in the name of Avodah Zarah. So you'll be over on a mitzvah d'oraita. So because of that, we don't allow you to go into partnership with a non-Jew. And therefore, how could you possibly say that ha-mishtateif lo is mutar? Ella, which by the way raises the whole question, right, about shutfut. Many people have partnerships with non-Jews. Okay, anyway, right, first of all, if they're not Ovdei Avodah Zarah, you can avoid this, right? This is another one of those cases of, you know, idol worship versus non-Jews in general. Okay. Ella tana mechira v'hu adin l'shutfut. So what do you see here? It said afa pishenor rashaylo in the first case of hamochirlo, but it obviously meant it also for hamishtateflo, because hamishtateflo is also aser. And therefore, we could say the same thing here. Hachanami tana l'mechira v'hu adin l'kablanut. So you could say the chachamim also say kablanut is asur, eino rashay. Okay, so it doesn't prove anything. Umayshna mechira, so why did it only say it by mechira? The Ikar Isser is by Mechira. From there, we get that it's also Isser in other cases, but that's the Ikar Isser, is Mechira, and that's why Itafka mentioned it there. Okay, second attempt to prove what Chachamim would say about the Ubar case. If you, again, your Mochera Behema li Ubareha. Tashma, Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Hamekabel Behema minove kochabim v'yalda. Ma'alino to b'shivyo. This is the one we saw before, right? He says if you take a behema b'kablanut from an ove kochavim v'yalda, and then she has offspring. Ma'alin oto b'shovyo v'noten chatzit damav l'kohen, your chayav and petar chamor. V'noten b'kabbalah, and if you give it to an anju b'kabbalah, af al pi she'eino rashai, you're not allowed to. Konsin oto ad asara b'damav v'noten kol damav l'kohen. V'chachamim omrim kol zman she'yad kochavim ba'emtza, yad ove kochavim ba'emtza, p'turam in a b'chora. V'chachamim say, no matter what, you're petar from b'chora, right? This isn't relevant. Now, my lava behema, what do you see here? Again, this is all a matter of, is it talking about a behema or is it talking about that you sold the ubar? Did you sell the behema l'ubareha? In which case, this is exactly our case. So if this is exactly our case, that you sold the behema l'ubareha, what do you see here? Rabbi Yehuda says you're not allowed to. There we'd have an answer. Rabbi Yehuda says you can't, and then obviously Chachamim would say you can't, because Rabbi Yehuda's the only one who matters. So, doesn't he say you can't? So they say, lo aubar. No, you could simply say that it doesn't mean you can't sell the behema l'ubareha. It means, afa b'sheino rashai, is to sell the ubar. We're doing the reverse of what we saw last time, right? Last time we were trying to say, wasn't it the ubar? No, it's the behema. So then they say, and now they're going to prove it from the lashon zachar, the exact opposite of what we did before. Daikanami dekatane konsino to'ara sarabadamav shma amina. And there they end, because there they've at least proven, right, that here you have it. And that's what, again, why is it so clear? It's not so clear. It's just saying you can't necessarily say that we can prove it from here because this means behema. This could mean ubar and not behema. As opposed to, the, right, and that it's all a matter of, there also we weren't conclusive. We said it could be this or it could be that. As soon as you say it could be this, it could be that, well, then you can't get a definitive answer to your question. So we're left with lack of clarity about this topic, about whether you, according to Rabbi Yehuda or Chachamim, one is allowed to sell a behema l'ubareha or not. Thank you.